6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We're having a little bit of difficulty reaching a connection issue there with Marjorie Wildcraft. We were supposed to have her on. And until we manage to get that line cleared up, 844-769-2944, we're taking your phone calls to discuss a lot of different things. We have peppermint oil, peppermint tea. You know, you go to the Power Mall and get all this great stuff. 10% off of North American Urban Spice products and Global Healing Center products this week at the Power Mall. In addition to Power Silver, 1 ounce Nano Silver, and Tranquil products, so you get a BOGO on those while supplies last. And of course, buymeacoffee.com/thepowerhour is a way to become a team member. And of course, a big shout out to Kevin Mills. Hey, you know, when you do this, we are going to give you a shout out on the radio. We appreciate you and everything you're doing to support the show. And we're also on all the social media accounts. And believe it or not, we are still getting calls in to the Power Hour asking about the online doctor they can trust who's a COVID expert and the pharmacy that dispenses the off-label meds. And the reason this is happening is because of what the government narratives are doing, shutting down the ability. A lot of pharmacies just won't process this stuff. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, all of this. You know, mygotodoc.com is the website to go to. Mygotodoc.com. Here's what I did. I went on and I became the test case for mygotodoc.com after we had Dr. Syed Haider on the show twice. This is something the Power Hour, we here at this show, believe in because he's a COVID expert, treated over 50,000 people, no deaths. And unlike other sites that tag you for every little thing you do, you can register for free here, ask as many questions as you want. They connect you to the independent pharmacies to get you the ivermectin, the hydroxychloroquine, the budesonide, the fluvoxamine, everything that's necessary. And here's the one thing about Power Hour listeners dialing into mygotodoc.com. Let's say you've come down with a variant or you're sick. You see, normally the people at mygotodoc.com are not treating active cases. But if you tell them that you were on the Power Hour and you heard Dave Krieger say, he's talking about Dr. Haider and the fact that he said that he would treat Power Hour patients who are sick. Tell them that and they'll treat you. Mygotodoc.com is your go-to source for COVID-19. And I mean, look at it this way. If you've got long COVID, the possibility of long COVID, even with low risk patients, you can benefit from the off-label meds because they can prevent that. It can be debilitating. I mean, brain fog to start with. And healthy diet is also very important about this. A recent large-scale study, as a matter of fact, when you're talking about long COVID, of 150,000 VA vets showed increased risk of a heart attack and stroke even after a year later, up to 72% more likely than people who were not infected. And a lot of these people, you know, they get the jab. They get the jab. And now we find out our government paid for advertising to promote the jab campaign on all the major networks with our tax dollars. These people are twisted and sick. And they're running our country? We got to change this in November, folks. But mygotodoc.com, get your medicine cabinet stocked up. I did it. You can do it. The number is 281-219-7367. If you want to talk to a human being, they will call you. They'll communicate with you. I swear to God they will. I'm living proof. My medicine cabinet is stocked, ready to go for the next variant, mygotodoc.com. And now we grow your own groceries is a big thing. And more people are going to do this as time progresses. I warned you before the top of the hour break that you are going to start experiencing supply chain issues. The JIT system is going to start falling apart and you are going to have to depend on, yes, you yourself to grow your own groceries, which is why we have Marjorie Wildcraft from the Grow Network on the show with us today. Welcome back again, Marjorie. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm doing great. Yeah, this world is falling apart, but, you know, it's happening. Oh, my God. You know, all these years we've been seeing it, and now it's really happening. So it's kind of in shock.
We were warned.
Yeah. We've known. And really, it is happening. The supply chain is breaking down. We learned in 2008 when oil hit $140 a barrel that the global economy comes to a screeching halt. And, you know, yesterday it was at $130 a barrel. It's dropped now down to about $110. But, you know, we're up there and everything is oil. And that's just one part of all the things that are hitting us. I mean, I know you've talked about just the ungodly amount of money printing that's going to come home to roost. Inflation is already starting to happen. And then all these other crazy things. I haven't kept up with the trucker convoy, but you know, you're right. The just-in-time trucking system is breaking. So,
I mean, what
that's really going to come down to is it's going to be harder and harder and harder to be able to afford to eat, much less eat well. But the really, really good news, the really good news is you can do it in your backyard. You know, you can grow food. We've been growing food forever. That's what all your great-grandparents and all that did, you know. And it's really not that hard, and it tastes way better, and it's way better for you. So, yeah.
Well, and one thing that we've been promoting after having guests on, Marjorie, that are talking about all these chemtrails, the graphene oxide and all the other chemicals that they're dropping all over the Earth's surface, it's like, well, I gave up raised bed gardening. I'm going to have to move everything into a greenhouse to protect my groceries.
Yes, that is another step to take. I would recommend, you know, just start though with the raised beds, because you got to start somewhere, right? You know, get started. And yeah, if you got to build a greenhouse, build a greenhouse. It is crazy what they're doing. We also sell really, really extremely high quality herbs. And in particular, there's one that really helps to regrow tooth enamel. Its common name is called horsetail. The Latin name is Equisetum hymale. And I have a couple of wildcrafters, very, very ethical people that only take, you know, what is a good amount, and then they leave a big part of the stand. But, like, this one guy, he drives, like, all the way to the end of the road, and then he hikes in about 8 miles into this really, really pristine wilderness area, and then he has to cart all this stuff back out. And I said, you know, but, Doug, I still got to test it. So I run it through the test, and I couldn't believe it. There were still some trace levels of like cadmium or arsenic in it, and there were very, very low levels, but I was shocked that there was any. I mean, it just really had me realize that we do live in a closed cycle environment, that even if you're getting way, way out into wild, pristine areas, that there are still toxins that are just in the air that get transported around. So once we get through this next decade of the collapse of everything, that's going to be we're really going to need to focus on cleaning this place up. Clean
no
up
doubt.
Your room,
well,
people.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, see, here's the thing. This is the thing. When taxes go up, the cost of food goes up, medicine goes up, everything goes up, the underground economy gets huge. And the food, to me,
yes,
and I've always said this, food, water, shelter, the most important three things, even if you can't run your car because gas costs too much, that's a distant number four now. You know, when gas prices were low, transportation was right up there because people had to have a way to get to work. But what happens when it gets so expensive? You basically say, well, either I'm going to stay at home and work from home, or I'm going to have to charge more for my services. I mean, there's so many different ways that people can deal with this. And I was just talking to some guys out here that are building a fence out in front of my lot. And they were telling me this morning, hey, it's going to be to the point now where companies actually have to fill up their employees' gas tanks just to get them to come to work. And I'm going, yeah, but that still doesn't stop the JIT mess that was created by Walmart and everybody else that's become dependent on this 72-hour exchange of supplies when all of a sudden the national supply chain gets affected. And now everybody has to make a decision about growing their own food. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I mean, really, again, harking back to like the 2008-2010 era, I was living in rural central Texas at the time, and there were a lot of people that lived out there because, you know, you could have a mobile home on an acre or something. It was really inexpensive living because, the commute was really inexpensive. But as soon as, you know, gas started hitting $4 a gallon, it just didn't make sense anymore to live out there. So we saw a complete draining of the countryside of people that moved back into the city. I mean, really, the countryside was emptied. And then a whole bunch of businesses went out of business. Anybody, like, any kind of delivery service, for one, but other things like landscapers that depend on, you know, driving around to going to get to places and using a lot of machines that use a lot of fuel. A lot of them went out of business. So, you know, we saw a real destruction of the working middle class during the whole lockdown thing, and then this is just going to be another version of it, but from the perspective that fuel gets too expensive. And you're absolutely right about the just-in-time trucking system. I mean, that's where all that food comes from. That was when I first had my first awakening living in central Texas and realizing there was no food growing in the countryside, and I was surrounded by 20 million people that wanted to eat 60 million meals a day. And there was anything that would happen to the just-in-time trucking system, there was no plan B, right? You know, all those Willie Nelson concerts to save the farm didn't work. There's nothing growing out in the countryside, you know, or not much. But the good news is you really can grow your own food. And I got into this. I was completely freaked out, panicked, scared to death. You know, this happened to me 20 years ago, so I was a little ahead of everybody. And I just said, that's it. You know, I sold my business, and I'm going to focus on learning how to grow food because I know there's going to sometimes be a collapse. This world is just wired in this crazy way, and it's not going to stay up forever. And you know what? I totally, totally am grateful for that time when that happened because, it sounds so simple and so humble, growing your own food, but it really has been the best thing I've ever done in my life. My health is amazing. My mental focus and clarity is incredible. I don't have any anxiety about what's happening, right? You know, like, ooh, there's empty shelves. I'm like, that's no big deal. I wasn't buying that anyway. I'm already growing this in my backyard, you know? So there's a lot, and then there's a whole spiritual component to it because you're working directly with the forces of creation, and just magical things start to happen. So, you know, it is time to start growing your own food. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. It's going to be an amazing change. And in a couple of years from now, when you actually do have all this stuff productive and you're completely disentangled from the system, you go, my God, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. So, growing food is really, it's really a good thing to do.
Well, I consider it a supplement to those who are out there, and I don't like using the word prepper, but I mean, you have it in my show notes. It says preppers, and I get it. You know, there are people out there that think the same way you do. They've been thinking for years the way you do. They've been stocking up on that 25-year shelf life food that you get from various websites out there. And the preppers know exactly where they are. And, we've all done it. It's just one of those things where if you can't trust the government and you can't trust the circumstances the way they are and how they shape up, then it becomes a very big problem that we have to deal with. So this is one of the things that, you know, we're focusing on here. First off, we have to be known as Mr. and Mrs. Compost, because, you know, here's the thing. Russia has made so much money out of exporting fertilizers. It's one of these things that, you know, we first have to figure out a way to make the soil work. And in order to do that, we have to grow compost. And I mean, I can't just sit here and use up how many Keurigs and open up how many Keurig coffee containers and dump coffee and eggshells somewhere. You know, it's one of these crazy things that we have to learn to do. And you can't really have good garden soil and grow good food unless you got good compost. So that's one of the things
that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. I got to tell you, so if people head over to Power Hour Food, which is where we're having a webinar coming up this Saturday. And when you register for that, I'm sending out a whole bunch of free resources that go with it. And one of them is called Compost the Movie. And it's so fun, how to compost anything. And it's just a really funny movie about compost. And one of the taglines of it is, how to compost anything, even your enemies. Like, oh boy. But really, it's just a fun way to learn it. So, yeah, if you head over to Power Hour Food, you can sign up for the webinar that we're having and get that free movie. It really is funny.
No doubt.
Compost is absolutely essential. Compost is absolutely, because you've got to keep giving back, right? We've broken so many chains in our world now, right? We're so disconnected. People don't, you know, even know where things come from anymore. And I think they do surveys of kids, and they're like, where do chicken nuggets come from? And they're like, we don't know, you know, McDonald's,
yeah.
Right? You know.
Yeah, I thought it was plastic, actually. You know, we have, you know, actually, there's some interest from folks here online. 844-769-2944, Sherry in Kansas, how are you?
Hi. Great. Marjorie, I have two books on by Richard Allen Miller. The one I'm looking at is Native Plants of Commercial Importance, and he talks about wildcrafting herbs like that. And I had recently looked up horsetail because of a program I'd heard on horsetail. They said the highest concentration of silica in the human body is in the lens of the eye. I found that very interesting, but it is very important. And Richard Allen Miller, in his book, gets into the chemistry. And here's a little bit of trivia besides the normal stuff. He says, because of the high silica content, this herb is used for scouring and polishing. Not only is horsetail rich, it also accumulates gold, 0.03 to 0.0075 parts per million, and silver, 0.023 parts per million, which I thought was interesting. Now, in one of Charles Walter's books, and I believe his son is down there in Austin now putting out
Acres USA.
Yeah, Acres USA. He says that it actually, the silica transmutes into calcium. And it's really important for nursing mothers. And he thinks that's why the grazing cattle went after it. Unfortunately, I haven't located any of it on my property because I've got pretty clay ground. But apparently it does that because it mostly grows in sandy ground, I believe.
Well, you know, I want to bring up 2 points with that. And it's a very common landscaping plant, so you can often find it in nurseries, especially if they sell pond plants. And that's the first thing. And we really encourage people to grow it rather than to buy it from us. And the other thing is it's a very, very ancient plant, and it does uptake all kinds of stuff. So if you see it growing in a ditch, I probably wouldn't harvest it there because, you know, it does uptake all kinds of agricultural things and apparently gold and silver. But that's why I take such cares, great lengths, to make sure that where we're getting the source is as pure and clean as possible. But it's one of the most...
You shouldn't harvest it along the right-of-ways on highways because it's got too much crap in it. You know,
too much crap in it. Yeah, and it's a super hardy plant. I mean, it's really bulletproof. You know, you can actually, it'll almost dry out and die, and then you can just water it, and it'll come back to life again. And it's an ancient, ancient plant. It doesn't have a flower or anything. It's before the flowering plants came. And it is high in silica, and silica is what your body needs. It's for hair, nails, teeth. You know, a lot of people in the Grow Network are looking at using it because it helps regrow enamel on your teeth. And it's just a fantastic herb for that. So, yeah, by the way, it is Equisetum hymalei, which is also known as rough horsetail. And there are other varieties out there like Arvense or other things, and you don't want those. You want the hymalei.
Okay. You know, talking about composting, and I think composting, if you've ever, you know, made your own compost and stuff, I liken it to it's a good example of the germ theory versus the terrain theory, because the on your health, because, you know, your compost will make whatever it needs to break down whatever it needs to. And it's the same thing in your body. If you're taking in a lot of crap, your body's going to get busy to break things down, and that's, it's going to make you feel sick. But, and some people think that tumors, cancerous tumors, are just your body's way of isolating something away to save the rest of the body, you know. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
That sounds that sounds like a reasonable theory to me, yeah. Compost is so easy, and there's like a zillion different ways to do it, but you're right, it is. It's the reason it's so easy is nature does all the work with the bacteria or the fungi or whichever way you're doing it. It really breaks it down and gets it going. Going back to, I was on a radio interview a couple of years ago, and this young couple called in, and they said, we had this fantastic garden, and it produced so much for the first 2 years, and then the production started to drop off a lot. Do you think it was because of the chemtrails? And I said, well, but, you know, I mean, chemtrails are an issue. Let's not, you know, I'm not trying to say no to that, but, what were you feeding your garden with? Do you have a compost pile? You know, what were you using? And they go, what, you have to put something back in the garden? Yes, you do. That's why you've been losing your production. You know, compost is so simple. You got to, you know, every season when you plant, you need to put more compost back in there. That's because it's a part of that whole cycle of life, of, you know, things that have decomposed turn into soil, and you put that soil back and grow it, you know. So, yeah, compost is so essential.
Well, it is, and that's the one nice thing about all of this. We're getting ready to come up to the break. Sherry in Kansas, thanks so much for your call. We're going to be talking about natural fertilizers versus synthetic fertilizers. To me, I always like chicken poop and straw. That works for me, but we'll talk more about that after the break when we get back here in the Power Hour with Marjorie Wildcraft from the Grow Network. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb & Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarest and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
One minutes after the hour of 12 noon. It's Central Time, Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And we've had some pretty interesting conversations here about poop on the radio. Yeah, almost sounds like Greg Gutfeld on his late night show talking about poop jokes. You know, that's just, it's kind of funny. But no, really, on the serious note, poop has its purpose. And I know we're not talking about recycling human feces here, okay? Not composting toilets, even though I know if push comes to shove, people are going to have to really compromise. But we're talking about the Grow Network with Marjorie Wildcraft, who is here with us on this show today because of the fact that we already see a supply chain crisis getting really, really bad and your store shelves cleaning out. And it's not going to be a pretty thing. And so we've asked Marjorie to come back on the show. Before we went to the break, we were talking about chicken poop. That's always my favorite. I used it. I had some really great cucumber crops, and I find that chicken poop in straw dug into the soil with a pitchfork is probably some of the best fertilizer that you can use if you are growing something like watermelon or cucumber or anything that depletes the soil of nitrogen. I absolutely love this stuff. Marjorie, what do you think about it?
I love it too. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, under in the chicken coop, especially when they roost at night, they do a lot of pooping. So if you just put a little bit of straw or hay or leaves or anything underneath where they're roosting and just let them do their thing and let that pile up for a little bit. And then, yeah, a chicken manure can be a little bit what we call hot. So,
right.
It's often best to let it compost a little bit versus, rabbit manure, which is a lot cooler. And the main difference is, you know, not surprisingly, their diets. Chickens are omnivores and they like to eat insects and grains and things like that. Whereas rabbits are just herbivores. They just eat green leafy things. So the rabbit pellets, you actually can take those and put them directly, into the garden. Although, you know, honestly, home rabbitry is, you know, not necessarily just for family consumption, but, you know, a smaller, maybe a commercial operation where they have 100 rabbits or so. They do make some money off of the meat of the rabbit, and they do make money selling the pelts. But the biggest profit that they make is by creating a worm farm with the rabbit poop and selling the worms and the worm frass, which is unbelievably good fertility fertilizer. So, you know, it always interests me with how there's so many layers of things that you can often get out of one thing, right? You know, so yeah, you got your chickens, you're going to get eggs and feathers, but then you also do get the fertilizer and you get the manure, which is just fantastic fertilizer. And
well,
as much as we can close these. Yeah, as much as we can close these circles ourselves to where you don't have to go anywhere to buy fertilizer, you don't have to go anywhere to buy this or that or the other, that it's all happening right there in your yard. That's what's really awesome.
No doubt. I was going to ask you, because this was from a last show that we did. You were talking about six chickens being able to produce, you know, 1,500 eggs a year, which is just great, because you can sell eggs, you can buy more feed, you can have, you know, grow your own kind of feed. There's so many different ways to feed the crop. But one thing that stuck in my head was, wait a minute, if I get six hens, do I need six nesting boxes?
No, no, not at all.
Did we lose you there?
But so you,
I think there. Oh, there's that magic dot. We may have to try to get her back on here. I need to figure this out here, because anybody that's shopping for this stuff, if you're looking at feed supply stores, you're on Amazon. Ugh, you know, you want to shop in the big boys. And look at this thing. There's all sorts of different sizes of cages. A lot of people like the metal cages. Some people have been able to actually create their own nesting boxes out of pressed particle board. I'm not a real big fan of that, because they're very hard to clean. And not only that, they don't last very long, because once you get them wet, cleaning them out all the time, they have a tendency to break down. And the stuff is just loaded with toxic chemicals. So I really don't like going that route. I'd rather much use the type of you know, metal boxes out there. My question, a big concern was, yeah, whether or not you needed to have, if you had six chickens, whether you needed six actual storage boxes. You know, the nesting boxes. You don't.
Hey,
what you're telling
hi, Dave,
me is you
I'm
don't.
Back.
Yeah, I know. What I'm understanding is,
yeah,
you don't need six planter nesting boxes for six hens. You can get by with four.
No, you could get by with two or three. Even, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you know what I think is the perfect nesting box, and getting in touch with my inner hen, you know, the perfect nesting box is one of those milk crates, you know, that you can pick up from the grocery stores or different container places. So it's a perfect size nesting box for them.
Now, would you put straw in it?
Yeah, you put a little straw in there, and then they'll make their little nest. By the way, in that at the webinar, which is happening this weekend at powerhourfood.com, in addition to the 50 free fertilizers book, and then also ebook, and then also the movie on you know, composting, which is a really funny movie, we're also got another video on how to get 100% of your chicken feed for free. Because, you know, feeding chickens, you don't want to have to go buy chicken feed, right? So that also comes if people go and register for the free webinar this weekend. Then those resources, you'll get those via email. So a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot you can do.
We'll endeavor to do that, too. Yeah, we'll endeavor to register and sign up, because we always get a lot out of this. Folks, this is one of the reasons why we offer solutions. And everybody dials into the Power Hour because they want solutions. And this is one of the reasons we have Marjorie on the show with us, because she's been doing this. She got a 20-year head start, like she said. And the thing is, when you start seeing the supply chain really break down and get bad, and like Marjorie pointed out, back in the 80s we had this issue, and all of a sudden the store shelves emptied out. You have a disaster, the store shelves emptied out. This is one of these crazy things, crazy times call for not so crazy measures. We should have been doing this all along. Now, you don't really need 5 acres to do this on, do you?
No, no, you don't. Actually, really, you don't. And to grow at least half of your own food, you only need about the size of three parking spaces. So really, just a typical suburban backyard, you can grow plenty of food. And there's actually a lot of suburban backyards where people are growing so much food, they've started a little, they started a little farm stand and they're selling it. And by the way, when there could come a time when money does not do you any good at all, and food is money. And so, you know, there's a saying, you know, growing your own food is like printing your own money, because there are certainly a lot of times that have happened in a lot of places where that was the case. Actually, even Venezuela right now, right? You know, there's a lot of places. So growing your own food is, and you don't need a lot of space. You're absolutely right. In fact, you're kind of blessed if you don't have a lot of space. So when I first started this, we had a 75-acre ranch in Central Texas, and my husband, he remembered his nanny who had an acre garden. And now Nanny had grown up, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper following her parents around, you know, in the garden. So by the time she was a mature woman, she could manage an acre garden, right? But I didn't know nothing. And he, you know, he goes out there and he plows me up an acre of weed. And it just turned into an acre of weeds and frustration, because that is just way too much. So if you, all you have, really all you need is about 100 square feet per person. So you want 100 square foot, like a raised bed. And yeah, if you want to put that in a hoop house or a greenhouse to protect yourself from what they're spraying, that's a really good idea. But gosh, I was living in Colorado for a couple of years, and I just had two 50-square-foot raised beds. And this would be, when you make the raised bed, it's like two cinder blocks high, and it's about, you know, 5 feet wide by about, you know, 10 feet long or 12 feet long, right? You've got 50 square feet of growing bed space in there, and then with the paths and stuff, you know, there's a little bit more around it. And I grew all the produce that I needed for myself, and I still had a lot of extra to give away. And because I was living in Colorado, what we do here is we can it, we dry it, we freeze it. But it more than enough for one person in one season for a year in a 100 square foot garden. So it doesn't take a lot of space. I know people are thinking, oh my God, I'm going to turn into a migrant worker or something like that. No, you're not. And it's going to be the best time ever. Actually, I've got a whole series of podcasts that I've been doing with, really, really high level business people and executives. There was a guy who works in the health industry, managing a division of 2,000 people, high tech startup company founders with, you know, $25 million budgets, and they grow their own food. Now, they're not doing it because they obviously have way more money. You know, it's not a money thing. They do it because it's the best half an hour to an hour a day that they're spending. They're relaxed. They're getting in touch with nature. Electronics and gardening usually do not mix, so they don't take their cell phone out there. So they're getting downtime. But these people are extraordinarily productive, and they, even in their downtime, they want to be productive. So growing food, which is an incredibly relaxing and enjoyable experience, you know, working with the chickens or working in the garden or working with the rabbits, they're still producing something, which for them is very important because they always want to be productive, but yet it's very calming and nurturing. And they all of them say they do it for the stress relief, every single one of them. And then quite a few of them do it just because you cannot buy food of that higher quality. You just can't buy it. I mean, yeah, farmers markets are great, and we want to support our local farmers, but nothing will be higher quality than the food that you can grow in your backyard.
No doubt. And this is one of the reasons, you know, when you were talking about a rabbit tree, you know, and I'm like, well, I had one at one time when I was in East Texas, and we had like 50 rabbits. Do you know how much rabbit poop 50 rabbits produce? My potbelly pig got so fat eating that stuff. I mean, we literally had to figure out a way to keep him fenced out, you know, and that, yeah, I don't understand, you know, you certainly, the potbelly pig absolutely loved the fertilizer, let me tell you. Here's the funny about the whole thing. Even having one rabbit, even if you had it as a pet, that's still usable, right? Still usable poop. Is one rabbit going to make enough to actually use as a fertilizer to help compost right away?
It'll contribute something, you know. It's not going to be enough for you know, like your whole garden, but it'll definitely contribute something. By the way, regarding compost, here's another really super empowering fact, is that the compost that you make in your backyard is going to be far superior to any other commercial compost that you can buy. And here's why. Commercial compost, they normally only have a few ingredients that they put together. You know, they got the leaves or the wood mulch or the, you know, leftover bread or whatever it is, you know, that they're making it from. But your compost pile, and so anyway, with limited number of ingredients, just like your gut bacteria, you know, there's only going to be a certain amount of bacteria that's going to grow in there. But your compost pile in your backyard, you're throwing in those banana peels and maybe a little bit of this, you know, rabbit manure and some of that chicken manure, and then some of the branches from when you were trimming trees, and you know, you're throwing in, you know, the apple cores, and you've got so much diversity of stuff in there. It's going to create a huge diversity of microorganisms that are breaking it down, and those diversity of microorganisms that you're putting into your garden soil are what make your plants so much stronger and healthier. So your compost that you make yourself is always going to be way better than the stuff that you buy commercially. So,
No doubt.
I mean, I'm always a fan of throwing all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah.
For sure. Well, the other thing about greenhouses, too, which is something that I've been doing all this research, and you know, here's the thing about folks doing research on greenhouses. You go to websites, you go on Google, you go on Wayfair, you go on any of these others, Overstock, and next thing you know, man, they got your number. You're constantly getting emails for greenhouses. I'm like, look, first off, I got to even find a space to put it. I'm on an over a half acre lot, and I'm looking at only part of that lot is sunny, and it's in a low spot. And does a greenhouse have to totally be in sun? And when do you use shade cloth?
Well, it would be a similar question to whether you have a greenhouse or not. The general principle is most of your garden vegetables and fruits really want a good, you know, 6, 8, you know, 10 hours of sun if they can get it. But leafy greens, like, so, and it takes a lot more energy to make a berry or a fruit, like, let's say, a piece of squash. It takes a lot of energy to make that squash, right, to make that fruit or to make that broccoli, that which is a flower. But, but it takes much less energy to make a leaf. So, leaf type plants can grow much better in more shadier environments. So things like your kale or your lettuce or that kind of thing is going to be better in shade, whereas you almost never get tomatoes to produce in shade because, you know, a tomato requires a lot more energy, and that energy is basically coming from the sun.
I got you. All right. So that means, basically, you would use shade cloth in an area where you were like didn't want that much sunlight coming in. You were growing leafy vegetables, from what you just said. Am I getting that right?
The idea, yes, in an area where you've got less sunlight, you're probably going to do better with leafy green things. And when you've got more, that's where you're going to want to put your more sun loving things. That usually those are going to be like the tomatoes and the squashes and the pumpkins and things like that.
Right. And see,
yeah,
you could use it also for covering your chickens up too, if they don't want to hang out in the sun all day.
You know, and rather than using shade cloth, I'll often use just a different crop. So for example, you can grow sunflowers, which make a delightful dappled shade. A traditional shade that I've used in Texas, where it gets very, very hot in the summer, is okra. Okra loves the heat, and it grows real tall, and it makes a nice shady area. There are other smaller trees like moringa that also does a really good job with that, or lucayena. And then the moringa, of course, that's very, very, the leaves are super nutritious and makes a wonderful tea. Also has a lot of medicinal properties. The rabbits absolutely love it. Yeah,
they do. You know, the one thing too, you know, kudos for compost. You have an article which I think is really cool, and I'm looking at a picture of it right here. We're going to include that in your email blast. So if you are not subscribed to the email blast, you will not get this link. So you need to go on there and look, because we have a link on here from thegrownetwork.com, homemade natural fertilizer, 15 simple and inexpensive options. It was published February 28th of this year. 15 simple and inexpensive natural fertilizer options to do it yourself using common household items, plus 5 recipes for homemade plant food. We're going to put that online, but you got to sign up for the email blast in order to get it. David in Virginia, welcome to the Power Hour. How are you, sir?
Hello, Dave. Like that. Hey, I was just going to tell you, I agree with you guys with the chicken poop and the straw. Like that. I've been doing that for years. It works really well. You know, people that want to know, I just agree with you. But I got a couple questions like this for your guest.
Sure.
One, like the
sure.
When out there cutting the lawn, garden, and everything like that, does it hurt like that to use like a sprinkler system, or would it be better to use like a hose, you know, that would just water the roots? And is it a problem with insects, like maybe getting into the top of your corn silk when your corn starts coming in? like they maybe live to help, you know, get the bugs off instead of, like, you know, seven dust or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad you don't want to use seven dust because that stuff is nasty. I'll go through a basic principle, and then there are a lot of natural things that you can use. But a basic principle is when you are, as a human being, when you have all the nutrition you need and you're healthy and you're vibrant, you don't generally get sick, right? You know, the viruses don't affect you if your vitamin D level is high, right? You don't tend to catch colds if you have a lot of vitamin C, right? You certainly don't get scurvy. And the same thing is true for your garden plants. But where the garden plants are getting their nutrients from is from the soil. So if you have really, really good, rich, vibrant, alive soil that your plants are growing in, then your plants are going to be really strong and healthy, and they will tend to resist insects, and they'll tend to resist diseases and things. And I've actually seen this sometimes, you know, like I'll have a row of squashes, and then this one squash plant at the end, for whatever reason, wasn't in that great a shape, and all the insects attacked that plant, because the insects actually are the predators of the plant nation. And the purpose of most predators in a natural system is to take out the weakened of the species. So one time, I'll tell you a story. One time I had these sweet potatoes, and I had these really, really shiny beetles on it. And I was like, I've never seen, they looked like they were chrome. I thought they might be from outer space. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do about this? I'm like, I've never seen these things. And they were all over my sweet potatoes. So the first thing I did was I let the chickens in there briefly, and the chickens just had a ball eating up all those, all those little beetles. So they kind of set all my beetles back, you know, they ate them all. And then as soon as the chickens started, ate most of the beetles and then started hitting in the plants and other stuff, I got the chickens out of there. And then I immediately hit the sweet potatoes with a nice dilute solution of compost tea, maybe a little bit of seaweed water, and basically helped to strengthen those plants with more minerals and more nutrients. And I never had a problem with the insects again. So often when I'm seeing an insect problem, what I'm really thinking is, how can I address this as a soil problem? This is probably a soil problem ultimately. But yeah, you do want to use some short-term things. There's a bacteria that's pretty well known. It's BHT, Bureauthensis. Oh my God, my Latin on that one is not good. Go to your local nursery and they'll tell you about it for an organic spray. It will help wipe out, you know, different things like aphids or different types of flies. Even just a small amount of, in a very small amount, believe it or not, of tobacco watered down, the nicotine and whatever compounds that are in tobacco make a really lovely insecticide. Again, you would just want to spray all the plants very, very lightly. There's a whole lot of other things. Yeah. The other thing we did when I had little kids and we were getting to the little potato beetles, you know, you tell your kids, you give them a little cup of soapy water and you say, you go through the potato patch there and I'll pay you 5 cents a beetle or whatever it is. You know, I think the price has gone up now with inflation, but, you know, they'll come back and they'll find their little kids, you know, they'll find those beetles all in there. They'll show you their cup and, you know, of course, the beetle dies in the soapy water and you count it up and you paid $2 and your kid's happy and you don't have potato beetles anymore.
You know? Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your call, David, in Washington. Yeah, we've got another call here to take here from Kevin in Ohio while we still have 3 minutes left. Marjorie, Kevin, what's your question?
Hi, Dave and Marjorie. I don't know how much you did talk about composting human refuse, but human refuse is not a waste. It should be reused. I'll give you one resource book you can go to real quick. It's called Humanure Handbook. And you can build a sawdust toilet with a sheet of plywood, a toilet seat, a few buckets, and use sawdust. And then all year long, you will be adding everything green in the wintertime, everything brown on top of your compost that you've taken out. You put it in buckets. You can put a compost and toilet right beside a bed, an office, anywhere you want it, inside anywhere you want it. And all you do is It's so simple. Go to the Humanure Handbook. It's been the guidepost for me, and I was in the compost and toilet business for 25 years. And Marjorie seems to
thank
have
you,
some
Kevin.
Knowledge
you're,
of this.
Thank you, Kevin. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Yeah. No, thank you. That is actually, that is the book. That is absolutely the book. And I recommend people get that book even if you aren't doing it right now, because we don't know when the sewer system is not going to work, or if you're living off grid and the septic tank completely fills up. I mean, you really need to know how to handle your own crap, basically. And it's a really great, that's a fabulous book and a wonderful resource. So yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you.
And the name of the book
thanks,
again?
Kevin. The Humanure Handbook.
Human Manure
yes.
Handbook. For those of you out there that may be faced with a dilemma, because it is entirely possible, especially if all of a sudden we get an EMP and all of a sudden your septic system doesn't work, your pumps don't work. If you're on an aerobic system like we are, it fails to work unless you have a backup. So, you know, not a lot of people think that far in advance. But, Kevin, that sounds like a real simple way to solve your composting problems is by adding a composting toilet to it. And to answer your question in the very beginning, no, we actually weren't talking about recycling human poop, but now that you mentioned it, we are. So we appreciate your input. Thank you so much for joining us on the show here. Marjorie, we're just about out of time. Let's talk about this weekend workshop that you've got going on.
Yeah, this weekend we have a live webinar, and please, the most interesting part and what everybody is always excited about is after I do the presentation, we have a live Q&A, and it's at powerhourfood.com to register, and when you register, we'll also send you those free bonus materials. Now I'll be going over, you know, what is the current global situation, why you absolutely need to be growing food. We won't spend a lot of time with that, but it's good to know. Then we'll get you a plan for how to get started regardless of the season or where you live.
There you go. Thank you, Marjorie Wildcrap. We appreciate you joining us here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. We will join you tomorrow for our Thursday segment. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.